Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet don't seem able. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! He survives the turbo! All rise for King survives the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Brandon Big B and Mike Shoesmith. Mike Shoesmith, first of all, Brandon Big B is in the house with me. And Mike Shoesmith, of course, folks know, is our correspondent out of Canada and also the executive editor and director of PNN News and Ministry Network. Mike, I'm going to toss this ball to you and you and Brandon discuss it. But at PNN, you guys have broken something amazing concerning Sandy Hook. Go for it.
Yeah, this is really shocking. It's just hitting the news wires this week. By the way, just a quick hat tip to Barry Satoro Esquire, who really is the only one who's talking about this. And, of course, now his articles and his videos are going around the world about David and Francine Wheeler. They are the parents of Ben Wheeler, one of the children killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School 3 years ago. They just had their three-year hoax-iversary over there, by the way. And many are saying it is a hoax. The whole Sandy Hook thing was just a hoax, all part of the global gun grab roadshow, you know. And now it is revealed in shocking clarity. These pictures are undeniable in my mind that this father, David Wheeler, who, if this was a movie, played two roles, one of grieving father David Wheeler, the other of a SWAT team member wandering around the set there at Sandy Hook with sunglasses on, in full SWAT regalia, and it is, in my mind, the exact same guy. And so this, if true, will blow the lid off of Sandy Hook and more. It should launch an investigation into this whole thing. I'm not sure it will get that far because it will implicate the whole entire government.
It goes straight to the White House because this guy's connected to the White House, isn't he?
Yes, well, we don't have time, but he is good friends with President Barack Obama. He's flown on Air Force One. He actually did an address from the White House, he and his wife, these two people. And they are professional actors by trade, by the way. So this is true. We don't have near enough time to get into this, but folks, go to ppsimmons.blogspot.com. You will see several articles there, which has video evidence, picture evidence. And Barry Satoro has done an awesome job with this, and I just want to thank him for that. We are going to be covering this more in the future, but really all of the evidence you need to see is right there on the blog, pbsimmons.blogspot.com.
When we went to the break, we were talking about this new revelation from PNN News, and you heard the executive director there, Mike Shoesmith, talking about it. This has gone viral. It's just come out in the last couple of days. It's gone all over the world, and people are going, absolutely crazy about it because... what it is, I'm just trying to look for it here. There it is. So, I'm trying to tell folks, all right, listen, let me tell you how to get to this article quickly. If you have Facebook, this is the quickest way to do it. Go to facebook.com/freedomfriday.carlgallops, okay? And the third entry, well, the first one speaks to it. It's a picture, and you can look at it. But then the second, the third, it's the fourth entry that's called, it says, we will discuss this on Friday, and it's entitled P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, Busted! Sandy Hook's star actor, David Wheeler. And that's the one that you want to click on. Now, I'm going to tell you what that's about and try to describe it to you, and then you can go look at it and see it for yourself, because I have a feeling this has the potential to be huge. I mean, it is huge. It is huge what you're going to see. But this is something that when the right people get a hold of it, and again, it's going viral all over the world, I don't know how it can be ignored. I mean, Brandon, I mean, it's right in front of your face.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Let me set this up, folks. So you've got Sandy Hook that happened 3 years ago. But in the meantime, you've got this close-up of three supposedly FBI SWAT team members. Okay, Brandon, you're looking at it and I'm pointing right now. Okay? And the guy in the middle is the guy we're focusing on. And they've all got on helmets. They've all got on bulletproof vests. They're carrying sniper rifles and shotguns and AR-15s. They've got all that. Okay? The ammo belt and the walkie-talkies. I mean, they're FBI SWAT. It says FBI on their vest. There they are. Well, if you scroll on down this article, you'll see this that I'm pointing to, Brandon, with the CNN logo. In other words, it's a screen capture right off a television set.
Right.
And so this was shown on CNN. So these are not photoshopped. It was shown on CNN. It was shown on MSNBC. So, I mean, liberal news media showed, and we've got the screen captures of what we're talking about here. And so you've got the guy in the middle is a very... I mean, he's a pretty distinctive-looking fellow.
He is, and he's got some very distinct facial features.
He's got some very strange eyebrows.
He does.
For example.
Yeah.
They're very thin and pointed, and they kind of raise upward on the ends. All right, that's very distinctive. Then he's got one of these kind of upper lips that molds into the nose that's kind of like a bulldog. And I'm not making fun of the guy. I'm just saying. And he's not a, he's a handsome looking fella. It, he's not ugly or anything, so I'm not making fun of him. But he's got this great big thick upper lip area with the big creases in his cheeks because it's so thick. Okay. Now remember, folks, this is radio, so I'm having to try to describe this. It's not it's television. We could just put it up there and you can see it yourself.
You mean the people out there can't see the hand motion?
They can't see that. I'm talking with my hands like a preacher. Not only that, but his nose, very distinctive, because it kind of turns up. Not only his whole nose turns up, but it turns up just a little on the end as well.
Yeah.
And then you've got this big upper lip bulldog looking thing, and then the distinctive eyebrows that turn up on the end and dark, very black and very thin. And I know describing it, you're thinking, well, that's not, he looks like a freak. No, actually, he's a very nice looking guy. He's got a very distinctive hairline as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, so you've got this picture of these, this guy that I'm describing as an FBI SWAT. Well, get this. That picture of the FBI SWAT, that's at Newtown. That's at Sandy Hook on the day of the supposed shooting. He is supposed to be an FBI SWAT agent in full regalia.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we've now, on PNN, we've now discovered this guy's an actor.
Yeah.
Out of Hollywood.
It's like he is to me.
And not only that, and we've got pictures of him as an actor. It's the same dude. Not only that, but it turns out he is the same guy and another woman that's with him that's supposed to be his wife, who was then paraded before the cameras as David Wheeler, the father of a slain child.
Yeah.
And how can you be on the same day at the same place an FBI SWAT agent and the father of a grieving child, and it turns out you're a Hollywood actor, and it turns out you have deep connections with the Democrat National Committee and the White House?
Yeah.
How can that be? Go and look at this article, folks.
Well, a lot of coincidences there.
So
I'm just saying, there are a lot of anomalies in this Sandy Hook case, and even more interesting is that every time somebody puts something forward like this in a big way that starts reaching the world, it immediately gets blocked from Facebook and YouTube and other media outlets. Now, this hasn't happened with this story yet.
On
we'll
PNN.
See if it does in the next few days. But, I mean, think about Wolfgang Haubig.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, former Florida law enforcement officer, he was a state trooper. He was head of a firm that set up security for schools all over the state of Florida. He says openly, Sandy Hook was a 100% hoax. Nothing happened. Nobody died.
Right.
His words,
those
not
are his
mine.
Words.
That's his
right.
words, not mine.
That's right.
Okay.
But he says that
now,
openly.
I have subscribed to the theory all along of something happened, but it's not what we were told. We have no video.
Right.
There's a drill going on at the same time.
Right.
You know, the same MO of all of these cases. But I'm telling you, and I said this last week here on air, more and more, I start leaning towards Wolfgang Haubig's theory of maybe nothing happened.
Maybe it was just a big gun grab. Because right after that, of course, Obama and the whole administration, they thought they were going
the springboard.
They thought they were literally going to get everybody's guns.
They thought they were going to start collecting guns.
Remember
but what happened? Gun sales.
Sales went up.
They put this legislation forth. Congress shoots it down.
Right.
Says, no, you're not going to start a registry, blah, blah, blah.
Right. And who was that that said, America, turn in your guns? Wasn't that Nancy Pelosi?
It was Pelosi. And that was before this ever happened. She said, if I could have, I would have said, America, turn them in. Turn them all in.
Right.
But yet, turns out she's a concealed carry permit holder, blah, blah, blah.
You said just a moment ago that weren't these the ones that that they trotted out as the main media representatives? And not only were they, and we've got pictures of them all over talk TV, MSNBC, other big places, but also they spoke from the Oval Office, the address to the nation, this man. Oh, and the woman that's portraying his wife? Come find out, she's an actress.
She's an actress also.
And she has deep ties to the
Hillary Clinton.
To Hillary Clinton.
Some CFR people.
That's right.
Council on Foreign Relations.
How can that be, folks? Yeah. How can it be that the grieving parents just happen to have deep ties to the DNC, Obama, Hillary Clinton, CFR? They're both actors, an actor and an actress. And now we've got pictures showing this dude in FBI SWAT regalia with the FBI SWAT team at Sandy Hook on the day of the supposed shooting, and then they march him out. They take all that off, put a suit on him, and march him out in front of the world as a grieving parent. How can that be, folks? Yeah.
There's so many anomalies that surround this incident. Let's just call it that, this incident. And one of the biggest that clued me in right away, and CNN did a great job of, it was dying. Thank you. Man, Mike Bates is unbelievable. That guy has a mind.
Yeah.
It was not Pelosi that said she'd collect all the guns. It was Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah. So, anyway, one of the two evil witches. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. It was one of those. We knew it was one of those. Like six of one, half dozen of
the
other.
Do you remember that Anderson Cooper, CIA Anderson Cooper?
Yeah.
He was trained by the CIA.
He said
record.
That. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you remember that he was caught doing a supposed report from Sandy Hook in front of a green screen? It was totally exposed. His nose disappeared
when
film.
He turned his head.
Not to mention that, but they were dumb enough to play the same loop two or three times, and the same piece of paper that is blowing in the wind behind him comes through on the screen two or three times in a row, exact same piece of paper, exact same motion as it's blown across the screen.
Yeah.
Something is wrong here.
Yeah. Why do you need green screen? Why do you need movie stars?
Yes.
Why do you need them dressed up as SWAT team and then be grieving parents at the same time?
Yeah.
Why is that? And don't say you didn't know because you brought them into the Oval Office and put them on camera before the whole nation.
Yeah.
Folks, something stinks to high heaven, and PNN uncovered
it. Think about this. How stupid do they think the American public is?
I know.
Whoever is behind this, I'm saying they, very generically. How stupid do they think they are that you would use one person to portray all of these characters in this same event? It's because they know that the 99% is going to believe whatever CNN or Fox
That's
tells
right.
them.
Listen, a ton of America listens to Freedom Friday, but watch. 99% of them don't.
That's it.
You see what I'm saying?
That's it, yeah.
So that's what they're counting on. Because you're not going to hear this on Fox News or CNN
Absolutely
or
not.
CBS. You'll hear it on Freedom Friday. You'll see it on PNN. So what are you going to do? You go home and watch the Pablum tonight on Fox News and think that's the news. It's not. It's not. Covered up. Guarantee you, if Fox News had the freedom,
if I were the devil,
they would be running the story.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. The. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly.
to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The table. All rise for the king, to serve the table and the knights of the round table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shaziz the Terrible here. If you jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html, posted some links over there in the chat room of some different videos of some things going on out there in the world. And it's kind of a controversial topic, I'm sure. I played that little podcast at the beginning from the PNN Network about the Sandy Hook dad that played two roles over there in the whole episode of the Sandy Hook where the kids were supposedly getting shot over there. I believe it was Connecticut, Newtown, Connecticut. Now, what's the purpose of even bringing all this stuff up? Fact of the matter is, yesterday I posted another link higher up in the chat. You'd have to scroll back up in there, but the link was basically from a guy named GeoShifter that said that you're being brainwashed. I suggest you go over and check out that video right there and give it an honest look and actually answer the guy's question at the end to see whether or not he's correct. And you might just be amazed at how super simple it is to put ideas in a person's head. I mean, I was simply amazed at the end result of the deal. The link is at the, if you can scroll up in the chat room up there, it's from yesterday. It's one that says that you are being brainwashed by a YouTuber named GeoShifter. Anyway, what purpose would the mainstream media have about lying and propagandizing all the people out there outside of control to keep certain people elected and, you know, certain things going on in government that benefit all the lobbyists out there? Why the big push to get rid of guns from the average Joe out there? Places where, you know, like I live out in the country, where the law enforcement might take about 45 minutes to maybe an hour or two, or possibly even never, before they show up to a call of distress. So I'm pretty much on my own out here to defend myself, because most serious crimes out there will happen quite rapidly before you ever have a chance to do anything, before you even probably have a chance to even make the call, then, you know, it's usually over pretty fast. You know, you've either been assaulted or worse. And so the Second Amendment, as far as I'm concerned, wasn't necessarily just to protect my own home, but it was to protect my own nation from tyranny and, you know, possibility of foreign invasion or whatever. So why the big push? Why would the governments of the world or governments of our nation want to disarm the American citizens if they weren't planning on trying to do some sort of dirty deed, such as maybe giving away part of America to a foreign nation or whatever in repayment for a debt? I also posted a couple links to pretty much a story just about what I just said there. It's on Blogspot. It says, why they grab guns. The China connection. I don't know. Like I said, when you get out here on the internet, you have to be discerning about the information that you're being put out there, that you're listening to. But all the private researchers, the independent researchers out there that have pulled up all kinds of evidence, I mean, overwhelming evidence that was showed in court, if this was to actually become a court case, then there would be several people up on charges for multiple different crimes, including fraud. And the mainstream media being complicit in the whole deal, the majority of the population out there will trust whatever they see on TV. I've seen it on Fox News. I've seen it on CNN or ABC. It must be true. We're slowly learning, or as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of rapidly building, that we're learning that we can't trust what we hear or see on TV. You know, with the whole green screening, blue screening, and CGI technology today, you don't even know what's real and what isn't real. So you got to keep your eyes peeled. You know, in the eternal fight for freedom, Thomas Jefferson said it, the price for freedom is eternal vigilance. That means you got to pay close attention to those who are supposedly the representation, otherwise they're going to run amok. And so with that said, every right in the Constitution is there for a purpose. It's there for your protection and the preservation of the Union as far as the United States of America goes. So when people pull big, massive hoaxes or scandals off such as these right here, and when they're caught red-handed and they're called up on it, and the mainstream media doesn't run with it, you know, they don't, it's not about telling the truth anymore on the mainstream media. It's about ratings and propagandizing, basically. There's no other way to put it. If you want to get your daily dose of propaganda, go watch Fox News or CNN or NBC or ABC or MSNBC, all of those guys out there. And if I was a host on one of those networks and I knew that there were things that was going on out there and things being told to the public that was a flat-out lie, I'd get fired, because I would tell the truth right there live on TV long enough till they cut me off, you know. That's the thing. And they know, most of these folks probably know, that if they try to say anything, they'll get shut off. Oh, look, we're having technical difficulties. We can't have that. And then you're escorted out off the property. You can't say what you know as the truth or what you believe is the truth on mainstream media. That's why if you call up any of your local radio stations and you try to bring up any of these controversies, such as the possibility that 9/11 was an inside job, or that Sandy Hook was a hoax, or that all these other mass shootings out there, with maybe a few exceptions that could have potentially been, you know, real nutcases out there doing that, They're not going to have nothing of that. They're not going to talk to you. They're not even going to give you any airtime. And the very few people who do manage to try to get on there, they get hung up on, and immediately the host of that radio show will start pointing them out as a tenfold hat nutcase. You know, we don't believe what he just said. He's a nut. And this, you know, for you people out there who believe otherwise, that some kids did get shot over there or whatever, then you guys are sick, crazy individuals. And for the average Joe out there who doesn't know any different, they will believe what they heard on Doggone Do and probably even side with the host, you know. They will think anybody who mentions anything outside of the what the mainstream story is an idiot, is a crazy, you know. You know, facts should speak for themselves, but in this day and age, facts are twisted and turned in all different directions in order to, you know, further an agenda. The total confiscation of guns of the United States citizens. It seems to be backfiring in their face, because every single time one of these episodes happen, gun sales go through the roof. So the gun manufacturers are making out like bandits, and the gun stores are making out like bandits, because the American people, I believe that the veil is being lifted. I believe that all the truths out there in this world are being shown, brought out into the light, and the people at the top are running scared. I believe that they're getting desperate. I believe that they're getting sloppy. They're doing things that normally could have passed by the average Joe out there without any kind of implications of any shenanigans. They're, getting sloppy enough that where the average Joe out there actually has access to some pretty amazing technology, as far as all the graphics programs where they can take in and scrutinize pictures and video and find anomalies that should not be there. There's no purpose for a green screen on a live scene. If you're live at the live broadcasting live from the scene, you should be getting the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But it's not always the case, and we've seen this with many of the different supposed the Batman shooting, all the different supposedly school shootings, all the different lockdowns. One of the things that most people haven't really realized, the biggest losers in this whole episode are our children who go to school. If you find a state penitentiary or a county jail or something like that, and you take a tour on it, and you look inside this thing, as you walk through there, you will notice how everything is compartmentalized, and there are cameras in every direction, and there are no-go zones, and so on and so forth. And then you take that knowledge that you got in your head while it's still fresh, and you go take a tour of your local school, you'll find out something really disturbing. Your children, when they're going to a public school system, are literally going to prison. They are literally being compartmentalized in separate rooms with no-go zones. They have to follow certain rules, and they don't have the rights like you would have. If somebody says something might be in the kid's locker, there's no warrant necessary. They just go search the kid's locker. They are continuously under surveillance. They're continuously under indoctrination. They're continuously taught things in school that they shouldn't even be taught in school. There's age-appropriate things that Barry was talking about that should not be taught to any child out there. Anything that goes above and beyond the basics of sexual education, as far as what you were taught back in the old days, as far as the birds and the bees, a boy and a girl kind of thing, when your mom signed a waiver or notice that said that it's all right to show your daughter or your son this particular film to teach them about that kind of stuff. For the most part, that should be a parental thing, that you choose to teach or not teach your kid at a certain age certain things. But there are countless numbers of examples of things that are being taught to children, things that are being allowed in school. I send my child to school for education. What I don't send my child to school for is medical attention. So if they are vaccinating my child at school or doing things to test their health and their blood pressure and take their blood, there's a program out there that ran through our school system at one time that says, "How hip are you?" was where they actually drew some blood and they were trying to, you know, supposedly see how healthy the children were and whether or not they had enough iron in their blood and stuff like that. But what I believe that the underlying and the biggest deal of was literally to collect up DNA samples for future possibilities of criminals. So your children are literally not only going to a state-run indoctrination center, but they are also going into the equivalents of a prison. You know, with the exception is they don't have the bars per se. But if you do look at some of the school rooms, the doors on those things are pretty easy to lock down. And then if there's something that you don't agree with and you want to take your child out of school, you can literally have law enforcement called on you for trying to get your own child out of school. The parental rights aren't like what they used to be, where I go up there, I'm tired of this school district teaching my kids something that I don't agree with, and I go up there and I tell them I want my child and get him ready and I'm taking him home. I'm going to put him in a different school. Well, it's not like that anymore. They will literally reject letting you have your kid for whatever reason. Tell you, well, we feel like your kid might be in danger because you seem to be angry. And they will literally call law enforcement on you. So you don't have that parental right authority that you had back in the day. So what do you do? Homeschooling would probably be the best start, if you can do that anymore, because there's a lot more regulations on homeschoolers than there was in the old days than there is now. Excuse me. So imagine being a child. You get up early in the morning, you get dressed, you get on the bus, you got to deal with other kids on the bus all the way to and fro the school. Maybe kids mocking you or giving you a rash or whatever. And then you finally get to school and you get off the bus and you're guided into your classrooms and you basically, now you're inside the little prison thing where the teacher's going to teach you whatever needs to be taught. And the moment you raise your hand and question any of the information being taught to you, suddenly you're out of line. You're in trouble. Sit down. Be quiet. Don't need to hear from you. This is what the book says. That's what you got to write down. This is it. They don't encourage free thinking. They don't encourage teaching both sides of the story. As far as, we all know that you can't teach anything about God in school. That's a no-go because it's a state-run school. And they have the whole separation of church and state thing that they're blowing completely out of proportion. Your kid can't do certain things. He can't wear certain things. He can't say certain things. He can't express himself as an individual. He has to follow lockstep with what everyone else is doing. And when it's time to go to lunch, everybody gets in nice orderly line and they go to lunch and they go back to their indoctrination when they're done. As long as they never step out of line, everything goes smoothly for them, and they'll get that whole diploma at the end of the whole deal. Doggone it. But let me point something out here. Been close to the school system long enough to know that in the last several years, there's a really disturbing trend going on in the school systems over here in the United States. And then I don't know how it is over in the other countries out there, but here in the United States in particular, there are children who are graduating from high school, getting a high school diploma, who cannot read. They cannot do math. They barely know any science. They have very, very little, if any at all, knowledge of the United States Constitution. They don't know their rights. They can't read. They go to get a doggone job, and the states and the governments have set it up pretty much where if you're handicapped, the prospective employer may read the application to you, and you just answer it, and they fill it out for you. That's a disturbing trend. And if you think that that's not the case, then you need to go around and you need to talk to some of your local kids around there. You need to quiz them. Ask them some questions. See what they know. You might be surprised. You might come across one of the little kids down there who had maybe had a little extra teaching from his home, you know, some tutoring from his parents and teaching him a little bit more. But at least 98.9% of all the kids that's coming out of that school is going to be neglecting some subject or another or all. And so, if you have an uninformed, uneducated population, it's so much easier to lie to them. It's so much easier to manipulate them. It's so much easier to get them to believe whatever it is that you want them to believe. And that's what's going on. It's a mental mind screw of epic proportions, first off. It is a divide and conquer from within of the United States. We have treasonous traitors in just about every branch of government that there is in the United States. Folks out there pushing a specific agenda to whether, you know, you want to go to the tinfoil hat side of it. The one world government, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the whatever. These groups out there apparently do exist. And there is a definite agenda to move us towards a one world government. There is a definite agenda to move us towards a one world currency. But anyone who speaks out and points this out would be told they're nuts. And all the time while all these other independent researchers are out there pointing out these things that are going on, that they're coming for your guns, they're coming for your guns. Everybody says, oh, you're just a bunch of paranoid people. Well, every single one of these school shootings, supposed school shootings out here, had something in common. They all had police-grade or military-grade firearms in play. It was either an AR-15 assault rifle or it was a Glock 9mm. Riot shotgun. Every single one of them had a common denominator. And every single one of them had family members who supposedly lost family members in the shooting who came out strong for gun control. And every single time that one of these supposed episodes occurred, the president, so-called president of these United States, the Manchurian candidate, traitor-in-chief, would come right out, defy his oath to office to serve and protect and uphold the United States Constitution, and attack the Second Amendment. Not only is the Second Amendment being attacked, but the First Amendment is being attacked, because now those folks who want to speak out against it, they want to outlaw those folks who speak out against it, to make it a crime to talk about anything other than what they said. Like as far as congressmen's coming out and saying, well, we need to charge people who speak out against climate change or global warming deniers. We're on a slippery slope, folks. There's things going on out there in this world that need to be paid attention to. Now, if everything out there that is supposed to be going on the Fukushima radiation, how long has that been going on out there? How long has that reactor supposedly been leaking off into the ocean? A long time. It's not mainstream. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's addressing that issue. Is it real? Is it not real? Is it dangerous? Is it not dangerous? What about when you look up in the sky and you see the tic-tac-toe patterns of clouds in the sky? Whenever somebody starts to speak out about it and say, look, you know, they're poisonous via the air, you know? You're a nutcase. But then you have independent researchers out there finding and presenting documents that say that that's what they're doing, that they are spraying stuff under the so-called guise of geoengineering. When it comes down to drilling for oil here in the United States, fractal drilling, where they spray high-pressure water down and crack up the surface to release gas up inside there, and then basically take the hydraulics out from under somebody's house, and then their house falls into a sinkhole, and they cause many earthquakes, man-made earthquakes all over the place, and the company comes out and says, oh, fractal drilling doesn't cause earthquakes. That's a hoax or whatever. But then, in reality, the proof shows otherwise. And the wastewater, hey, where's it going? It's got to go somewhere. It goes down into the water table. And folks are drinking it. Folks are drinking fluoride. Folks are getting vaccinated with trash. And you have individuals come after such as the well-known Bill Gates, who literally says out of his own mouth in front of everybody and his brother, if we do a good job with vaccines, we can reduce the population of the world. I was under the impression that vaccines were supposed to be to cure and prevent diseases, not to depopulate the planet. But some folks just look completely past what somebody just said with their own mouth in front of the whole world and just right on by. Oh yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Make sure everybody ain't sick. Excuse me, fool. Did you hear what he just said? If we do a good job with vaccines, we can reduce the population of the world. That means somebody's got to go. That means somebody's vaccine ain't going to be very good. It means those vaccines that your children are taking are putting your children at risk. It's a scary thought. What kind of sick individual would even think up that concept? Why would there even be a conspiracy about that concept? You understand what I'm trying to say here, people? You got to be discerning. You can't be living in fear, but you got to be wise. You got to pay attention to what's going on out there. Either they're polluting our land, either the doggone global warming is real or it isn't real. The science says not, but the media says it is. The government says it is, and under the guise of combating terrorism, we got to combat global warming. What does terrorism have to do with global warming? Has absolutely nothing to do with global warming. But while they're pushing the propaganda of the so-called man-made climate change, they're also pushing the so-called propaganda of the terrorist behind every bush. There's a terrorist in your closet. There's a terrorist behind your toilet. There's a terrorist up underneath your bed. There's a terrorist in the back seat of your car. You need to live in fear. Don't worry, though. The government has you under control. First off, we need to make sure that you are not a terrorist, so you just give us your gun, and we will take care of you. It's the police job to make sure that you're safe. And this is getting crazy. This is getting beyond crazy. When you go to the police academy, one of the very first things that they will tell you is that you are not there to protect the people. You are there to enforce the law. You are the executive branch of government. The judicial and the legislative branch of government, The judicial interprets the law, the legislative branch of the government writes the law, and the executive branch of the government enforces the law. And so they will literally tell you that you are not there to protect the people. You are there to enforce the law. Essentially, you are armed revenue generators for the state. That's it, in a nutshell. And since everybody's a terrorist out there, and you got to be disarmed so that the police don't think you're a terrorist, because you might have a view that the United States Constitution is a worthy document to keep you safe from tyranny, and that those rights that are carried within are important. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snively Whiplash has got the gates to the border over there just wide open, and anybody, hey, come on in, everybody, come on in, you know. Fresh new voters for the Democrat Party, and fresh new army for the traitor-in-chief. Bring them all in. You've got people who say that they want to destroy the West. You've got people who say that they want the Islamic flag flying over the White House. You got people in this world who say that they want to kill Christians and they want to kill Jews and so on and so forth. But yet, the border is wide open. So I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm missing out on something here. Maybe I'm missing the point here. But the whole lack of common sense, the whole thing about, you know, being able to protect yourself. You know, I don't know that I'd want to turn in a gun if I have a gun. I don't know that I'd want to turn it in. Because I understand that the police aren't there to defend me, and then if they are there to defend me, that means I got to get on the phone, I got to call them up, they got to come all the way to my house, and they got to get to me and the bad guy, and between me and the bad guy, before the bad guy does his dirty deed on me or my family. So to me, that Second Amendment for home security alone is important. But for me, it's also to protect me against that police officer who may or may not be corrupt, that may or may not come over to my house and force himself in my house and try to take advantage of me or my family or cause us harm. Who's to say that that man isn't as crazy as the other guy over there that's trying to break into somebody's house? So, when you look at the overall big picture of everything out there and the lack of common sense and the lack of representation that goes on in every single nation, as far as every single elected representative or parliament or judicial or legislative or executive branch of government, there is serious cause for concern. And the only reason why this agenda hasn't been rammed through faster than what it is right now is because of those few words written down in that piece of paper that leads off with "We the People" here in the United States. So for me talking about the Constitution, and for me bringing up my belief in the good book, the Holy Bible there, that would make me on that list. I'm a classified terrorist because I'm out here speaking out. I'm a potential problem. So I'm on the list. I'm on the list for speaking out. I'm on the list for fighting for freedom. I'm on the list for telling the truth as I see it. If my truth isn't the truth, if the world out there is a whole different than what I've been told, then somebody in this whole process is telling a lie. Somebody in this whole scene is either spreading propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, or some sort of BS for whatever purpose. Me as a citizen of the United States, why would I be thinking that the world is going to heck in a handbasket if the information wasn't presented to me by some source out there? Did I just get creative and make all this stuff up? Did I just look at the United States Constitution and read it up and understand what it was about and why those things were written down there for the protection of the State of the Union and the people therein? I didn't make that paper up. I didn't write that paper, but it was put there by the Founding Fathers who believed that they didn't want to live under the tyranny that they came from. But yet, the indoctrination centers will sit there and tell you how bad a person these folks were. These were slave owners. These were terrorists. These were people that weren't to be respected. And the Constitution is old and out of date and should be changed with the times. Truth is subject to the honesty of the teller. And so, if that old document there is the only thing that stands between me and total tyranny of a government that can run amok anytime it wants to, because I have no rights, the government violated the United States Constitution with the Patriot Act. The government violated the United States Constitution with the National Defense Authorization Act. The government violated the Constitution with the Transportation Security Agency. The government violated the United States Constitution with multiple counts of gun control. Continuously, that Constitution has been violated, picked apart, and just pillaged. It was put there for a purpose. It was a contract to tell the federal government of the United States of America, this is how far that you can go. Any further than this right here, and you are in violation, and we will take back our nation. That piece of paper gave us the authority under that agreement with our federal government, our leaders of the world. That piece of paper gave us the authority. That is the law of the land as far as man. That piece of paper gave us the authority that when our government got so far out of control that we would be able to take it back. Now, do I advocate a second revolution here in the United States? No. By any means, no. It has to go through every single court. It has to go through every single channel, every single possible peaceful path available. Because if it ever comes down to a second civil war here in the United States, neither side will win. Neither. The government won't win. The people won't win. It will be the worst scenario possibly imagined that will escalate beyond all imagination. So I pray that it never occurs. If you ever want to get some sort of close view of what it would be like, go watch the series Jericho. This series came out in about 2006. Go watch that and see how people react during that whole thing. It is disturbing. It is disturbing how the portions of the government that actually were the ones who perpetrated blowing off the nukes in 26 of the states, 26 cities in several different states, killing off their own people in order to bring about their own version of what they wanted for the government. When it came back to it, they actually had school books printed up with history changed. A lot of terrible things have happened in history. A lot of people were abused and mistreated. Those aren't things that need to be forgotten. Those are things that need to be learned from. Those are histories that do not need to be changed. One side or the other, whether it be the South or the other side, whatever. The South or North, for whatever purpose, believed that they were fighting for a just cause. Now, you're going to have folks out there that's going to disagree with that, and that's all fine. You can agree to disagree or whatever. You aren't there. If you were there, you're pretty doggone old by now. You had to rely on textbooks, and you had to rely on secondhand information. So, unless you're actually standing there when it's all occurring, unless you actually have first-hand information or totally verifiable second-hand information that can be verified in multiple different directions, you don't know. If you've never been to space, you can't say whether the Earth is flat or round or concave. You don't know. If you've never been to the edge, you don't know. And the same science that you quote to be whatever as the truth, the gospel, you don't know. Just like every single religion in this world, every single denomination of every single church out there, it is all based on faith. They don't know. You don't know. No one person out here has the answers to all these questions, whether or not this is real or that's real. And in the age of deceit, in a world of deception, to where you are literally able to be not only propagandized but mind controlled by flashing pretty pictures in front of your face rapidly that your subconscious picks it up, you don't know. And if you claim to know, then you are a liar. If you claim to be so enlightened that you have all the answers, then you are a liar and a fool. And it's unfortunate that there's a lot of people out there who think that they have it all figured out. Whether it be the atheist or the Christian, both sides think that they have it all figured out. Both sides will sit there and waste their energies fighting amongst each other, calling each other filthy names, and trying to degrade one another because they think they have it all figured out. The atheist has nothing figured out. The Christian has nothing figured out. The Buddhists, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Republicans, the Democrats have nothing figured out. Not one single individual out there can verify any bits of information that has been told to you, taught to you, propagandized to you, or indoctrinated to you. You don't know. You got to rely on the trust of your forefathers who said this, and then it was passed down to the next guy who said that, and so on and so forth. What we know here in the here and now is that we have to be alert. We have to discern between what is right and what is wrong. We have to discern between what is truth and what is fiction. At this point in the game, we don't have time to be in fear. We don't have the luxury of living in fear. If we are truly out there for truth, if we are truly out there for freedom, we must be eternally vigilant. If we are truly to pass on to our children and our children's children a world that isn't so toxic and polluted and just flat out disgusting, then we got to get our act together. We got to clean our house. We got to clean up our filthy mouths so that our children ain't hearing that and thinking that's what to say. We got to change our evil ways and start doing what's right and setting a good example for our children. Once we set that example with our children will set that example with their friends and so on and so forth, and the pebble in the pond will send the ripples across the world. And it's going to be a long and lengthy process because of the sheer fact of the enormity of the entire mess that has been created over the generations of mankind. It's not something that can be done overnight. It's something that's going to have to continuously be harped upon. Eric Holder said to the world, "We got to brainwash these people to get them thinking differently about guns." Why the use of terminology such as brainwash? Why propagandize somebody? You got to get them to believe your way so that you can put your agenda forward. Can't have no boys and girls sign on the bathroom anymore. It has to be a unisex sign because there might be a boy who believes he's a girl or a girl who believes he's a boy somewhere in the middle that might be offended if they can't use the right bathroom. So you got to have a boy, a girl, and a other section or something. How stupid is that? Men who want to dress and drag in dresses, hey, more power to you. You get your own bathroom. Society has deteriorated to such an extent that we are losing sight of any difference between boy and girl, man and woman. And while on one hand you have women's advocates out there trying to fight the war on women, but yet on the other hand you have mainstream media and mainstream businesses exploiting women at every single turn. Sexually, mentally, emotionally, physically, at every turn, they're making millions of dollars off of telling girls that they're fat and they need this exercise equipment or they need this diet pill. Imagine a little girl growing up into a world such as that, to where the popular girl in the class, she's got all the best clothes and she looks all pretty. She's got all this makeup and everything, and that little girl feels so less of herself because she looks like, I can't look like that. I ain't got the money for that. Or the little boy who's wearing cheap old Kmart tennis shoes while the other guy over there is wearing some Nikes or some Adidas and some really nice looking duds, and they've got it all out like, you know, look, you gotta look like this in order to be cool. Our children are being tormented. Our children are being mentally and emotionally abused by this system. Our children go to prison every day. Moms and dads, they go to work every day. Moms and dads come home and they're tired from work. They don't want to do anything but try to fix dinner and get settled in and have a little bit of rest before they got to get up the next day and do it all over again. So when the child comes to moms and dads and asks for something out of the ordinary, moms and dads are too tired to deal with it. Ask your mother, ask your father, go ahead, do it yourself or whatever. Dads aren't out in the yard playing baseball with the boy or the girl. Dads aren't taking their kids fishing and camping and doing things like they did before. And if they do, it's a rare occasion. And by the time they do finally get there, they're so aggravated from everything that it costs to even get there and all the breakdowns and whatever that happened in the process, because Murphy's Law is continuously kicking them in the behind on the way to and fro. So by the time they get there, they don't even enjoy it. And by the time they get there, they notice little Johnny sitting over there. He's kind of frustrated because, you know, hey, we're camping. You should be happy. But he probably would be even happier if all the times and weeks and months before that, Dad was paying more attention to him. He knew that he was the center of Dad's world. Because he knows that during the week, He's going to prison. His dad's going to work. He's going to go to prison and he's going to learn what the teacher says, or he's going to get in trouble. This is what's happening, people. This is what's happening to our children. This is what's happening to our world. The folks up there, they have it all figured out. They got it all figured out. They got what's best for you. They know what's best for you. They know we got to block off this section of land over there. We got to save that for nature, you know. People can't go there no more, so we got to move everybody down into these cities. Now we got to get everybody out of their cars because of the pollution, you know. We got to save the planet from climate change. We got to do all these things and pass all these regulations in order to make this world such a better place for everybody. We got to be fair to everybody. We got to change your beliefs. We got to change your lives, your health, your habits. We got to do this for you because you're too stupid to do it yourself. This is what they think. This is what the people up at the top who are in charge actually believe, that you can't fend for yourself, you can't do for yourself, you can't protect yourself, so they got to do it for you. Some people like to call it the nanny state, or Big Brother watching you on the cameras, because you might be a terrorist. You might do something illegal. This is a scene straight out of a movie, you know, the whole 1984. So what are you going to do? How do you get around all this craziness? It's going to take some effort. It's going to take you to take a big step back, take a big breath, and if need be, take your shoes off and go stand out in the grass and ground yourself. Become one with the environment and get your head straight. And understand that if you jump into this fight with this system, it's going to be a struggle, because the system has been in place so long. Most people don't want out. Most people don't want to put the effort forward to get out. The price for doing nothing is anybody's guess. But my best guess is the price for doing nothing is that one day your children wake up and they never even knew that they had rights. They never even heard of freedom. They once in a while get this story about a mythological piece of paper that was written that said "We the People" on the top of it. It said that at one point in history they were able to do that. But that paper was finally destroyed, because if it wasn't destroyed, then mankind would have destroyed themselves. So we had to do what was right. We had to get rid of that piece of paper so that those who believed in that, we had to get rid of that book, the Holy Bible, because those folks that believed in that were dangerous. And what else is dangerous? What else do we got to get rid of? What else do we got to burn the books, or the ban the utensils or whatever? What else do we got to get rid of? You got to get rid of those individuals who think for themselves, who think freely, who aren't part of the matrix. That may very well be you. You may look at something and not agree with it. I don't want to do that over there. I know everybody else is doing it, but I don't really want to do that. Do I have to? Of course you do. And now you're in trouble for even asking whether you had to or not. There are societies out here today, in modern day time, that the people have no choice. It is law. It is mandated. You do what you're told or you will go to prison. Get up early in the morning. Get yourself ready for work. Get your children dressed. Feed them toxic toothpaste and whatever else is on the shelf or whatever. Put them on the school bus and send them off into the government indoctrination centers. And then whenever you finally get to the graduation stage, you can tell everybody how proud you are that your child had graduated from high school. Just pray that somebody over there doesn't ask your child to read a congratulations card aloud to everybody there. It would be mighty embarrassing if that child went to pick up that card and could not understand it, could not read it and comprehend what that card said and in front of all of his family. Chances are there might be some family members who wouldn't understand it even if they heard it. Because this has been a long-term episode. This isn't something that just occurred overnight. This has been over years. These folks, have been, if anything at all, are patient. They will raise their families and children and their warriors and their people to believe in this dream that we've got to unite the world under a new world order that will keep everyone safe and end all wars. Jump on the Google over there and Google up war to end all wars and see what you come up with. You might be surprised. You might be surprised at those folks at the top who believe that that was actually a possibility, that we could literally have such an incredible show of force that we wouldn't have to fight ever again. That people wouldn't dare mess with us. We got these weapons. Well, suddenly, other people had those weapons too. Suddenly, a whole bunch more other people had those weapons as well. But the wars didn't stop. They just came to you with different names. The bombs still fell. The wars never ended. They continued. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash is putting out the information that you need to know. That guy that looks different than you, dresses different than you, he's a possible terrorist. That white guy over there, he's a racist. He's a possible terrorist. Homegrown terrorist is what they call them. Extremist. Yeah, they got a whole lot of list of all kinds of different labels that they put on individuals out there. And you got individuals out there that spew the propaganda out. They heard it on TV. They pass it on to somebody else. And now somebody else passes it on to somebody else. And when you get 90% of the population believing in the same exact thing, then it must be true. These folks out there doing what they are doing to societies are masters of deception. That's their gravy train. That's how they make their money. That's how they keep their power. That's how come they can fly around in a corporate jet while they tell you you need to be on foot, on a bicycle, or in a rickshaw. Because driving your car is causing the planet to heat up. That's what they say. You can't burn coal, you can't burn firewood, you can't burn fossil fuels, but wait a second, brother. You're still selling it. But for me to buy it from you, then that means I have to actually pay extra taxes on it because you're still selling it, but I need it, and so I got to pay you more money to get it even though you say it's bad. Why are you still selling it if it is dangerous? The Environmental Protection Agency come out and said that carbon dioxide was a toxic waste. So that means every one of you out there are spewing toxic waste out of your mouth every time you open your mouth, and I'm really winding it out right at the moment. But the same Environmental Protection Agency went and busted a hole in a mine and spewed a whole bunch of crud downstream in the river. Look it up. It's out there. There's plenty of video. The whole river was muddy orange, you nasty crud. And they told the Native Americans down at the bottom of the river down there, oh, don't worry. Just wait for it to roll on by, and then you can drink the water again. We'll bring you in some water, but we'll use some old tanks that have oil up inside of them. You can always trust your government. That's Congressman Bongwater. He'll tell you. My job out here isn't to scare you. My job out here isn't to try to convince you that I'm smarter than you. My job out here is to be the guy that's running down the road hollering, the British are coming, the British are coming. Ain't not only coming, they're already here. And that's not a crack on British people, but that's part of history. That's how it was all started, man. The guy out there ringing the bell, the two sheep that's standing outside the cave saying, look, you might not want to go in there with the big bad wolf. He did invite you in there for dinner, but he didn't say what or who was on the menu. If you look out there, this twisted matrix of information, the continuous flood of information that we call the matrix, or I call the abyss. If you dare to go down the rabbit hole, just be aware that that rabbit hole is deep. If you dare to be one of the Paul Revere standing out there warning of impending attack, just know you're going to have a time. But if we don't, if we, the minority of the people who feel like that we're awake to what's going on out there in this world and we're paying attention, if we go silent, then the other side wins. If we stop posting videos because they might be offensive to somebody by showing them something that they were propagandized into believing could be real, if we stop questioning authority, if we stop posting pictures of things that don't seem right, that people need to know about, to be aware of, if we don't stop talking about the hard subjects, then nobody will be talking about it. And the other side wins. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. The Knights of the Round Table was put together to bring people to the table. And it's a round table because nobody sits at the front. Everybody sits on equal footing. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an equal part in the responsibility to put good information and truth out there to other people who may just be coming on board and listening. We're not about advocating revolution or violence. We're not about passing on propaganda or lies or disinformation. We're about pointing out other options to this world, other things that need to be said, other things that need to be looked at. We are about honor and integrity. We are about making this world a different place, one positive pebble at a time, and you yourself could be that positive pebble. We are about bringing to the table sometimes controversial subjects that need to be heard, and finding solutions to point it out to everybody and his brother so that everybody knows when we shine the light on the roaches, they will scurry into the night. The Knights of the Round Table is you. And it's so easy to become one of the honorary knights of the round table. Just show up in the chat room over at ShazizRadio.com or over there at AwakeRadio.com. If you want to talk to both of them at the same time, jump at ShazizRadio.com/superchat.html. Jump in there and say hi to people and pass on some good information. And if you're a propagandist or a troublemaker, we'll just kick you to the curb. That's as simple as that. We don't got time for shenanigans. We don't got time for disinformation or people trying to steal from one another. We believe that our course and our cause is just enough that we need to continue on spreading peace, hope, and love and good information that people can benefit from. That's what it's all about. If you want to become one of the Knights of the Round Table, it's as simple as a Skype call. You just add Oshaziz as a user on there, or any one of the Knights out there. And you come on the air, and you keep your language clean, because your children or your grandmother might be listening. And you be respectful, and you're welcome at the table. We're going to take a music break, and I hope y'all stay tuned. I'm gonna see if I can get a few other people in here. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table on ShazizRadio.com. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
Show me where to look to. this life have gone, I'll fly away like a bird from these prison walls. I'll fly, I'll fly away. Thank you.
sleeping in my grave while he is
the Turbo. Always looking to fill the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table on ShazizRadio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to ShazizRadio.com/superchat.html. Two honorable knights, Barry Prince and Vince Easley, had joined us in for a conversation right here. While they're getting their copy ready and all that kind of stuff, I'll just mention this, that every one of us out there, regardless of whether we're religious or not religious, all of us live by faith. We live by faith of our families and our friends and truth and justice, and, you know, some of us live by faith of the gospel and some of us don't, you know, but regardless, well, some of us have faith in science and some of us have faith in all of this reality that we perceive to be, you know, life itself. But the whole concept of this entire thing that we've got going on here, such as the Knights of the Round Table, is a concept based on hope and peace and love and positive influence and information and truth and justice. None of that will ever come to pass if that information isn't gathered out there. People don't take that information and run with it and share it with your friends and your family. If you believe in what it is that we're doing here, share these links with your friends and family on your social network and get them involved, because everybody out there has to understand that you are not helpless by any means. You have things that you can do to make a difference, even if it's only in your own family, even if it's only in your own community, your own city, your own state, your own village, or whatever. Everything out there that you do towards bringing something positive to this world puts us a step further than we were before. Now, the faith that I was talking about is the faith that your government's always going to be true to you, or the mainstream media can always be trusted, or even the alternative medias as well. Anybody can be fooled. I mean, if you want an example of that, go over there to GeoShifter's YouTube channel and watch his latest video up there that says that you have been brainwashed. And listen to some of the things that's actually been said by mainstream media, such as Eric Holder, when he says we got to brainwash the people into thinking differently about guns and such. Now, am I a gun advocate? Not necessarily, but I do believe that the Second Amendment is as important as every other amendment in the United States Constitution. Now, I don't know what the constitutions of all your different nations are and the rights and privileges that you have been afforded to you in whatever nation you are should be preserved at all cost, and your representation should be truth. It should be justice. It should be one another. And so with that said, I do believe that the Second Amendment is very important, that we should be able to keep and bear arms, not just for our own personal home safety, but for the off chance that our governments of our prospective nations get out of control. You know, that's what that document represents to me. It is a document that tells the federal governments of the United States that these are the rules. These are what you can't do to us. This is what you must abide by. Every single representative out there has to swear an oath to serve and protect and uphold the United States Constitution whenever they go to Congress or the Senate. The judicial branch, the executive, and the legislative branches of the government all take the same oath. The police departments, who are a part of the executive branch of government, they all take the same oath. And any time that they step outside of that oath of office, they are no longer acting as an officer that is there to protect that particular document or your rights as an individual, period. So with that said, there's a lot of lies and propaganda, misinformation, and some folks in the conspiracy world will call it false flags and so on and so forth. You know, things that your own government do to you to convince you to follow their will. There's things that are being taught in the schools that should not be taught in the school, that aren't even age appropriate. There are, like I was mentioning earlier, Go visit your local jail. Go visit your local county jail. Go visit your local prison. Have them take you on a tour and watch. And just sit back and observe on how things function, how things are, that the cameras are in every direction, that there are certain places where you can't go. There are doors and locks and so on and so forth. Then take a tour of your child's school and watch. Watch as you walk through the front door, the security system to buzz in, the metal detectors on each side of the door, the cameras all the way up and down the hall, the different compartmentalization of all the different classrooms and the way that the classrooms are set up as if, you know, you want to lock this school down. You pretty much can't get in or out of that school if, you know, that is the case. So, if you put yourself in a child's position, you get up in the morning, mom and dad's rushing you around and getting you ready for school, and they're getting ready for work, and you're getting ready to get on the bus, and you're going to have to tolerate the shenanigans of the hooligans on the bus all the way to prison, essentially. That's what it's like in school. And it's unfortunate that your child would have to go through that deal. Not only are they subject to, you know, things that, you know, everybody knows about school lunches. They're not necessarily the best of the best. And some people that are preparing these foods, it's pretty much like prison slop to these children. They don't like it. And there's certain times in certain schools where if a kid brings a lunch home from school and it doesn't have the approved brand of foods or whatever in there, then the children's food will be confiscated and literally thrown into the trash receptacle. Which if I was a parent of a child who I sent to school with a sack lunch, I would be enraged if I known that my child's food was taken away from him or her. So with that said, there's all kinds of things that need to be watched and observed on a continuous basis. You have to know what your children are being taught. What they're being taught. See, I sound like I'm being taught right. I know that sounds crazy, but listen, man, there are people who, children who are graduating from high school who can't even read, who have no concept of the United States Constitution. Sure, they have heard of it, but they don't know that document. They don't know the significance of that document, and they've been told that the founders of that document were terrorists and slave drivers and so on and so forth. Now, whatever the case in history may be, as it stands, that is the only document that stands in between us and total tyranny. So we got to preserve that document. Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance, and if you ain't paying attention and you're willing to give up your freedom for security, then you're going to end up with neither. So you got to know what your children are being taught in school. You got to know whether or not you approve of it. You know, I don't send my child to school to learn things that Bobby has two mommies or Bobby has two daddies or things that, you know, of a sexual orientation or adult toys and stuff like that. I don't send my children to school to learn about that stuff. But it's being taught in schools around the world. There's craziness going on. Craziness with vaccines, craziness with spraying stuff in the air, craziness with the militaries going running amok, running around bombing places all over the planet. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash is stealing more of your rights and got his hand in the cookie jar and he's taking the money out of the till. The borders are wide open and everything's crazy. And this isn't what I'm saying, this is what the mainstream media has told you to get you to live in fear. There's a boogeyman behind that bush, up underneath that closet door, and underneath your bed, and possibly behind the toilet, or around in the backyard behind the house. So you have to be living in fear. However, everyone needs to turn in their firearms because we can't have all these school shootings that may or may not have even occurred according to the evidence presented by independent researchers all over the globe. There has been so many fakeries, hoaxes, flat-out criminal propagandizing lies that have been passed over to the public as reality. With blue screen technology and green screen technology, CGI technology, who's to say what on TV is real or what. So you have to use a discerning mind as you're looking and weeding your way through this matrix of mess, of propaganda, lies, and disinformation. You got people out there in the alternative media that you trust. You need to make sure that they verify. You need to continuously keep them on their toes and point out things that, look, you know, this story, I know you got this story from this, whatever, it's not true, or whatever. The key in that whole deal is truth. And to find the truth, and if you hear somebody out there who tells you that they got the truth, that they know all the truth, they know everything that there is to know, they're not only trying to fool you, but they're fooling themselves. Or they're flat out lying. Because there's not one single individual out there that has all the truth. If that was the case, then they they would have solved the problems that we're faced with today. The intention is not to fear-monger. The intention is not to spread lies and deceit or get famous or anything like that, or rich or whatever. The intention is to remember the main fact that our children and our children's children will grow up in a world to which they may never even know they even had rights. They may never even know they had a choice. They may never even know they had any freedom. They may never know that there ever was anything such as the Holy Bible, which there are individuals out there who just completely destroy and don't want to know anything about that. It's not about whether you believe or disbelieve. It's about your right to believe or disbelieve the way that you choose, as long as you're not committing no harm to anybody. So, if you're going to teach one side of the story, you need to teach the opposite side of the story. You need to teach the history as it was, not as it was wished to be. There were bad things that happened to people in this world, in this country, in America alone. There were bad things that happened under the guise of government and such. Those things need to be remembered. But we need to remember them in a fashion to where we move on towards the future to never repeat those things of the past, so that we can make a positive future for our children and our children's future. What more can you say? The common sense. The lack of common sense. You can't believe everything that you hear. You can't believe everything that you say, but you would be a fool not to pay attention to what's going on out there. There is a definite war on information. There is a definite war for your mind. There is a definite pitting between races and nations and peoples to keep you continuously arguing back and forth. It's the blue, it's the red. It's the paradigm between the two. That as long as you guys are arguing and fighting with one another, they're passing things that your kids are going to pay the price for generations to come. They're being taught things in school that you would not approve of, that your mother or your grandmother would have rolled over in their grave if they had known that somebody was teaching that in school. It's important that you pay attention. It's important that you learn about homeschooling if necessary, that you take your child's safety and well-being into your own hands, and you protect them from the arm of whoever it is that is in charge of the system, the federal government, whether it be the elite at the top, the so-called Illuminati, the Freemasons, or any of these secret sub-societies or alphabet soup agencies of the federal government. You can't always count on the fact, if you have the faith that these individuals have your best interest at hand, you have to look at the track record. You have to look at their actions. Anybody can say, I'm going to come out and protect you and the Constitution and your freedom. But it takes a real man to stand up against a corrupt system to do just that. So I need to stop babbling on and see if one of my guests got something to say over here. Because it is a round table.
I was enjoying that. But I think we find ourselves in quite a pickle these days, don't we? To say the least.
Yeah, it's a mess, brother.
You're talking about the school system. I'm going to talk about that just for a couple minutes here. It's something that I've really found myself deeply involved in rallying against and informing people exactly what's going on in our school systems. And what's going on in the Ontario school system now is absolutely shocking. The sex education program they're bringing in is almost a carbon copy of what's going on with the core program, but much more explicit in their sexual detail. And when you start teaching 7-year-old, 8-year-old children about the joys of masturbation, when you start teaching them about the joys of and the pleasure of anal sex at 12 and 13 years old, how to perform it, how to perform oral sex to the minds of 12 and 13-year-olds, to me, buddy, this is just an all-out attack on the morality of our children. And the funny thing about it is that a lot of people in Ontario weren't even aware of the context of the sex education program. The government did a very, very good job in hiding it.
Well, let me say something real quick, Barry.
One thing that really disturbs
me about this whole deal is because it sounds so terrible. Your average Joe would be like, oh, no, they wouldn't teach that in school.
But they are, Shazam.
But they are.
Yeah, and you know, she says all people have to do is look into this program and you'll find out that the gentleman that laid down the curriculum, this new sex education curriculum for the Liberal government, for Kathleen Wynne, is a convicted sex offender. He has now been convicted on 4 charges, of 2 of possessing child porn, 2 of sexually assaulting children. He's up on 8 more charges. And this is the gentleman that laid down the new sex education program for children in Ontario. Well, what are we talking about, people? We're talking about a pedophile manifesto. And she also went to Planned Parenthood Ontario. She says, and you think this guy was bad. You should look into the documents that Planned Parenthood released to children all through their growth. And they have a program called Anal Play 101, and this is distributed to 12 and 13-year-old children through Planned Parenthood in Ontario. So you got to look at the people that are behind this agenda and what they are trying to do to our children, man. I say to people, this is absolute travesty in our society, that when I went to school as a young child, we learned about math, we learned about history, we went camping, we went fishing, we did road trips, we went to the museums, we learned about everything that relevant to what I needed to know for some kind of relevance of life in front of me. We didn't even touch on sex education till I was 14 years old in school, when of course it becomes age appropriate for people. But to put something in front of children at this age, when it is totally age inappropriate, has nothing to do with their factions at that point in their life. The last thing you want to put into children's minds is this kind of crap, because you know children are curious. Children also worship their teachers. I remember growing up in school, Shaziz, and I worship my teacher. So if my teacher is putting this in front of me, and what's going on in the child's mind, man? What are we laying down for a precipice? It's unbelievable, Shaziz, and why people aren't screaming at the top of their lungs just absolutely baffles me. I mean, the core program in the States, punch it up, man. Grade 5, they got a teacher on top of the desk with a dildo showing children how to use it. In grade 5, grade 6. I mean, what's going on, folks? Do you want your children to be experimenting with this kind of stuff at that age in their life? I think people really have to start paying attention to this and asking themselves some really, really hard questions. I'm not even talking from a Christian point of view, which I am, but I'm talking about a general common sense attitude towards children. Because children, like I said, is when they're that age, when they're 6, 7, 8 years old, their minds are so open to what they put into them. They're so curious. I remember when I was a terror in school when I was youngest. I was always trying to do this, do that. I was running around. I was always getting in trouble, but that was my imagination. And that wasn't taken away from me. That was allowed to flourish. Now we see them completely stuffing that out in our kids, inducting them into basically the same kind of program that Adolf Hitler had in schools prior to World War II. If you study history, you'll find out what I'm telling you. If you look at his program, Shaziz, and I have, in just prior to World War II, and you compare it to the core program right now in the United States of America, they're almost a mirror image. But people never, ever do their history. They don't. People are so indoctrinated with TV. There's a hockey game on tonight. There's a football game on. You really got to get away from that TV, folks, and you got to start paying attention to what they're doing to our children. Because we love our children. They're the most precious resource we have, bar none. And they are the future of this world. And if you feed that plant nothing but poop, it's going to be poop when it gets to be a mature plant. And that's what we're doing to our kids, she says. And it absolutely tears me apart. I want to go and hang these people, but I can't. All we can do is get people to a point where they will look at it, man, because this is vital, guys.
Yeah.
Period. And period.
Would you agree
it
that...
It riles me, buddy. It riles me.
Would you agree that, to top it off, all these schools out here are being built more and more like prisons on a regular basis, that they...
Of course they are.
Metal detectors and cameras watching your kid, and your cameras... your kid's rights don't matter in school because, you know, they're underage. And
it's
so
indoctrination,
anytime
buddy.
Somebody says, we're going to check your locker, we're going to check your locker. You know, it's they don't have no choice. They don't have no freedom. So you can imagine being a child, not only being indoctrinated with the filth that comes up through there. My mom, I had two mommies, or I had two daddies. Why would you need to teach a child that? I mean, you know, they'll find out as they get older. Things like that.
Why are Ontario schools teaching transgender sex in grade 4?
Yeah, and basically...
You know, explaining all the different, what you are and what you can be. It's okay to be this, okay to be that. If you feel this way, it's okay. And it's accepted by society. And this is what they're indoctrinating to our children.
Basically, blurring the lines between male and female. You know, we got to have this separate symbol on there. You know, it's...
They're turning our culture upside down, guys. Right in front of our face.
Yeah,
what are we doing about it?
If little Johnny wants to be little Jane or something like that, it's all right. You know, and it's disturbing.
Oh, disturbing? Well, that's an understatement, guys.
Yeah,
these are our kids, man. How much do we love our children, guys?
I say my grandfather, who fought in World War II, he'd be rolling over in his grave right now. He'd be so sick and disgusted by what's going on in society. You know, he put his life on the line. He had the scars to prove it, all right? He was there in the midst of the mess. He went over there to try to save people, to you know, save freedom, and he had scars from his heels of his feet all the way up the back of his neck, where he had literally took mortar shell, shrapnel, what they call it, up the back. He had just terrible scars and burns up his back. And he went over there to try to do what is right, to try to fight for freedom, to try to end the Nazi rule and all that kind of stuff. Now, I know there's folks out there will argue about against the Holocaust or whatever, but I know one man who was standing there to visualize and see what was going on, and however he got there, for whatever belief system it was behind, the reason why he got there, I know that he sacrificed himself because he believed that he was doing the right thing. And if all this stuff that's going down out here in society is going the way that it is going, then it pretty much is a slap in his face. Everything that he fought for was a total waste of time, because now, do you have freedom? Are you people out there paying attention to what your children are being indoctrinated to believe? That their founding fathers were nothing more than terrorists and slave drivers and so on and so forth? You know? The history, the math, the science. You ask any graduate from any high school in any state of the union out here, and you quiz them, and you'll find out that there is a disturbing trend going on. These kids can't even read when they're coming out of school. They can barely do math, have no clue on science, and if you ask them about the United States Constitution, they've heard about it. They might be able to quote the First Amendment to you because they want to wear that shirt that's got the FU sign on it. All right, but anything further than that, they're not going to know it. There's a video out there, a little series called Ascension. You really should go watch it sometime. It's only 6 episodes on Netflix, but these people were put into what they believed to be a spaceship, and they were supposed to be going on a 90-year journey into space to another planet. The thing was, they never even left the Earth, and they didn't know it. But the original generation that first came in, anybody who may have known anything about it would pass on, and the next generation would grow up and so on and so forth till they finally up to the, you know, they're 90 years into this deal, and everybody on there really honestly believed that they were in space. They knew no difference, and that's exactly the kind of the scheme that's going on against your children, because there will come a time when they won't know that they had freedom. They won't know that they had any rights or anything like that. All they will know is whatever smut, whichever propaganda, whichever agenda is pushed upon them to believe in, that's what they'll believe in. The false science, the false history, the false everything, that's what your children are going to be in the future. Those are the future leaders of this world.
Absolutely. You know, Shaziz, if I go back 50 years, and when I was in grade 5 in school, and I remember very, very well what schooling was like back then, and I look at what's going on today, if we went back 50 years right now, and we exposed to the public what's going on in our world right now, there would be riots and tyranny all over the world. It's really, really crafty how in the last 50 years they brought it to this point where things that we wouldn't even consider accepting 50 years ago are now the norm in our society. It takes many, many years to bring a society to where we are. This didn't happen overnight. But the changes I've seen in the last 50 years, it just astounds me, buddy. The homosexual agenda is just astounding me. When I went to school, boy, if you even was a murmur of somebody being a homosexual in the school, that kid would be scrutinized and you know, blah, blah, blah. And now it's promoted and propagated all through our society. Well, the backbone of a society, folks, is the family, a male and a female joining together and producing children, and that male and female having a direct influence on how those children are raised, what their moral values are, what they are being taught in school, how they see life, and how they're going to be as a future a person in the future. You have to lay down. If we don't have a moral fiber in our children, if they have no concept of morals in our life, which is what they're being taught in school through the schooling education, through the gaming industry, they are being taught that violence is great, that sex is great, that promiscuous sex is great, that anything goes, you can go and have sex with your dog. And believe it or not, that kind of stuff is creeping into our society now, and is being promoted as being accepted. We see Europe now really, really pushing the pedophile agenda, where there's articles coming out in mainstream media, you know, don't be so hard on them. They're people just like you, and oh well, so what, they got a little bit of a glitch, but don't condemn them. And then you see these pedophiles going to court and getting a slap on the wrist, and yet you get some guy going into court and had an ounce of weed in his pocket, and they give him 15 years in jail.
Yep.
And what is going on in our world, guys?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to point out again is that I want everybody who's listening to go over to a YouTuber's channel called GeoShifter. If you're in the ShazizRadio.com Super Chat HTML or over in the Wake Radio chat room, you could scroll back up and you can find the video link. But he did a video called "You Are Being Brainwashed." And the reason why I keep hammering on that deal is this,
that's what's happening.
As far as a brilliant experiment, you watch this video, honestly watch this video, and answer this guy's question at the end, and you will be shocked. And this is happening. Now, another example of this is what occurs in the police departments and the militaries. In the old days, it's a well-known fact, if you look back through history, you'll find out that very few people ever fired their rifles in World War I and World War II, and they couldn't figure out why. There were soldiers coming back with just as much ammunition as they left with. There were situations to where they now had to figure out how to get these soldiers to use their firearms. So they begin a little process where, as opposed to back in the old days, they used to use a bullseye, which was circle within a circle within a circle, and you try to shoot the center of it, and you would become arms proficient by being able to shoot the center of it. Well, as time passed and they realized that these soldiers weren't using their firearms because they were raised with moral beliefs that killing was wrong, when they were face to face with an actual human, they hesitated or didn't fire at all because they didn't want to kill somebody. Well, now the modern day police agencies and the militaries teach the people to fire at silhouettes. A black silhouette is this outlined shape of a human body, so it gets you desensitized to actually firing at an actual human. And what becomes even more disturbing is that whenever you see some silhouettes, not just in the shape of an adult male, but as in the shape of a woman or even a child, there are black silhouettes out there, papers for target practice, that have children on there. Now, why would you have to have that? If you are a police officer and you come up upon a child and he has a gun in his hand and you don't notice the little red tip on there, you're trained to shoot. All right? This kid might be going to be a killer is what they're telling the police officer. This child may be a killer. You know, they haven't got the time to discern whether or not this is a real gun or a toy. All they know is this person's pointing a gun at them. And what kind of officer would shoot a child? What kind of officer would shoot a lady, an elderly man or an old elderly woman, you know? Unless they were desensitized to the fact that it is a reaction. It is something that you don't think about. You just react to, you saw a gun, so you shot, or you felt danger, and so you shot. Whereas opposed to in the old days, a police officer, who saw a child with a gun, he would be as extra cautious, maybe take cover or something, say, look, kid, you got to drop that, you know, or something like that. Nowadays, it ain't like that. They just come out there guns blazing because that's the way they're trained. Can you blame them? But that's the way they were desensitized. And this is what's happening to society. Society is being desensitized. If you think not, sit down and watch some of your teenagers play some of these first-person shooter games. And I'll have people out there will tell you, oh, it's just a video game, you know, but where does the line cross between non-reality and reality when you've got kids that are on Ritalin and Prozac and Luvox and other mind-altering drugs that now, if you take that medicine away for some reason or they forget to give that child that medicine, they're having crazy withdrawal symptoms and they want to run around and shoot everything up. They can't distinguish between reality anymore. You see the danger there?
Unbelievable what's going on. And, you know, that's just one aspect of brainwashing we experience in our society. I mean, I mean, most people are aware of this, but go watch some Disney movies and look for the subliminals in there. There's thousands of them in Disney movies for the last 30 or 40 years. But you don't see it unless you're looking for it, but it affects the subliminal. It affects your mind.
Well, that's another reason why...
We're brainwashed everywhere. Everything through TV, you are being programmed. You might not realize it, but what they can do is subliminal through that TV tube. Most people aren't even aware of.
That's another reason why to go watch that video that Geo Shifter did. If you're a skeptic of somebody being able to brainwash you and get you to say things that you wouldn't normally say, you go watch this video, and if you answer his question at the end and he was right, then you know exactly how it can be done on TV and in video games and so on and
Absolutely.
So forth.
Absolutely. Another link that I posted a link there of the Kinsley Reports. Shiziz, I don't know if you've ever studied that, exactly how they brought the moral decay of our society around and how they've implemented it over the last 30 and 40 years. That's what I posted there in chat when you get a chance. I've only watched about half of it so far. I'm not one of these guys that can retain information in his brain, but it really breaks down exactly how they've got our society to where we are right now. You know, the Roman Empire, she says, just prior to collapse, was totally into a gladiator state. And that's history.
Yeah.
We look at what we're doing to our children now through these games. I mean, I was over at my buddy's house there a couple weeks ago, and his 7 and 8 year old boys that had his buddy over, his son I think was 7, and his buddy was 8, and they were on the couch, and I walked over and I glanced at them, looked at their game, these iPods, these things that they can't get their minds off of. And what I'm seeing is, you know, zombies killing people chewing people's heads off. People shooting their brothers and sisters, their mom and dad, running through demonic temples with nothing but Luciferian signalism all around them. And I'm not going to get into that subject. I'm going to bring to people one quick series that people should go watch. A buddy of mine named Vosto released a series called Games Exposes on YouTube. And I really urge people to go look at this. And if you don't think these influences are all through our gaming industry right now, you're not paying attention. And this is really affecting the way our young people see their minds. And of course, now we see MMM, gladiator sports, mixed martial arts, as being the biggest thing now on our planet Earth. These fighters are going in there and just absolutely pummeling themselves and making tens of millions of dollars and getting tens of millions of people joining in and watching. Yep. Well, you got to ask yourself, we're conditioning our children to violence when they're 6 and 7 years old. Of course, they fall right into the MMM superstar protege that the public or the media is putting out to us. I mean, everything about their fiber for the future is being corrupted. Children have to be allowed to be children. Children have to be taught moral values in life, because if we don't, we think we have problems now in society. Man, give it another 5 years, and you're talking about the drugs, man. You know that 30 million children now in the United States of America are on Ritalin. And, you know, I can talk from experience, because I have a niece, she says that my sister put her on Ritalin because she was super hyperactive. At that point, I got some cassettes back at that point, and I studied them on Ritalin. And I kind of urged my sister not to do this, but they trusted their doctor, and they put my niece on Ritalin. And now my niece is basically a basket case. She is on antidepressants. They have created a patient for life. If she goes off her antidepressant, she absolutely loses it. She's at a point where my sister is basically going to have to look after her for the rest of her life, because she can't function properly in society.
Well, there's that faith thing again.
Guys,
the faith,
man,
faith in the doctors.
I'm talking, this is personal experience. I've seen what Ritalin did to a child. We have 30 million children now in the United States of America. And not just Ritalin, it's the other ones you mentioned. I can't pronounce the names, but there's four or five they're putting them on now. And their word is that it's not as bad as Ritalin, right? Well, you know that the U.S. military won't allow you in the U.S. military if you've been on Ritalin for more than 2 years of your life. They won't allow you in the military. So what are they saying to us? I mean, the reports are out there all over the world, and yet this stuff is still being pushed on a disease that doesn't even exist.
The people are relying on faith that their doctor has their best interest, regardless of the fact that maybe the doctor's making a little bit of kickback on the side for every individual he can get on this, but through drug companies
sick.
And such. Yeah,
sick.
It is sick.
It's
you know,
sick.
And it don't stop there. You know, there's so many different examples of what's going on, folks. You have to be discerning in the information that you're getting. You can't rely on faith of your government or faith of your doctor or faith of your anybody for that matter. You got to get up there. You got to do honest research, and you got to verify this information for yourself, because, you know, it's your children's future at stake. You know, there will come a time that your child may not ever even have known any choice, any chance, any difference between, you know, what was the Constitution? It's a mythological paper that used to protect us from the government. What is the Holy Bible? Oh, it's a book they had to get rid of because people were, you know, terrorists and such, you know, so on and so forth. And in 1965, Paul Harvey said it. He said it all. He spilled it out in 1965. And when you listen to that clip, if I were the devil,
plant.
Yeah, go Google that. I think I will.
Plant it right now. That's a good one, Shaziz. Some people probably haven't even heard that before, but you hit it on the nail.
Let me find it here. But I'm going to play this clip, and you listen to what he said in 1965. And
then maybe Vince will join us if he's out there.
Yeah, and then you tell me that man didn't know what he was talking about.
After this clip, Vince.
Okay, you guys on that Skype probably won't hear it, but I'm going to go ahead and play this real quick.
If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
So, there you go.
Well, you know, every time I hear that clip, Shaziz, it just astounds me how accurate he is predicting exactly what we see in society today. And he did it in 1965.
Yep.
What insight that guy had, man.
1965.
Amazing. Amazing.
So that really segues really well into what I'd like to discuss today.
Go ahead, Vince, and thanks for joining us, bud.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. This is Vince Easley. Very good to be with you guys again. So I'm posting this at World Truth right now. Very signed up over there. Alternative to Facebook. On a thread there, I addressed some evolution versus creation. I spoke extensively on it yesterday with Walter on Solvener event yesterday on UCY.TV. And I thought I'd like to recap just a little bit. I also allowed myself the pleasure of some non-violent communication methods. What started that was was being called stupid, and I am far from stupid. Matter of fact, as far as evolution and creation, that's probably my most studied subject. So I think I'm well qualified to speak on it, and I think I can answer about any question or address any issue, should I say, that would come up against that. Now, The original post showed it was a grasshopper, but I'm going to call it a cricket, a silent cricket, and that's a shout out to Al Anthony on the Liberty Media, where I broadcast from. Behind the Woodshed, continuing lessons and extra credits for showing up. There's my plug for Al. Anyways, so there's an example of this cricket with the serrated wings and then non-serrated at the edges, the edge of the wing there. So they claim this is a mutation, and that's beneficial. And it shows how evolution is true. Now, first of all, a mutation is never beneficial. It has been claimed that the Streptococcus, I don't have it right in front of me, but that virus fit very well to and was beneficial, but upon closer examination, you can tell that has been it is obviously designed. It fits like a key in a lock, and it takes a locksmith to be able to have that design. I mean that there be a creator or a designer or that locksmith. Or we also know the example of the clockmaker. Because I'm distracted here, I hear a beat. Let me go look. Anyways,
No, not on subject line at all. What?
Subject line.
Not at all on subject line?
Well, kind of, you know, I'm not trying to interrupt you, Vince, but we're talking really basically. I don't know if we're into a discussion on evolution right now. I'm not trying to cut you off, buddy. I'm just trying to say that we're talking really right now what we're looking at on a global basis and things that we see happening right now that are really relevant to this day and time, buddy.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to just bring the point and topic that I think is probably perhaps the most important part of the issue. Not about talking about so much more as the results of it. That's fine and dandy, but where does that come from? That comes from a world view. And there's two worldviews. And no matter how you crack it up, slice it up, or dice it, it breaks down between the two worldviews is that there is a creator and there's not a creator.
Right.
So I think this fits very well with the topic. And, I mean, if not... Okay. Then,
well, I'm not trying to interrupt you, buddy. I don't think we're into an evolution versus creation, creators conversation. I mean, maybe we are. I don't know what Jesus wants to say about that. I'm a believer in the Creator. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, Lord, Master of the Universe. That's my position. I know Jesus shares the same feelings. If you want to discuss that, I'm more than up to it. But we're trying to keep the conversation about what we really see happening right now. I mean, this issues with the schools, I was kind of getting get your feedback on that, because you must see it in your own schooling system down there. That must hurt you to death, Vince, doesn't it?
My answer to that is that if you have children and you put them in a public indoctrination system, then, you're
going to get what you get.
I think really, it does boil down to what your worldview is and whether you believe you have an accountability. Whether there's a creator, whether you define him as Lord Jesus Christ or whoever else, you know, that's between you and your creator. I'm not here to try to evangelize or to proselytize or whatever. Proselytize, I guess, is the word I was looking for. But I do. That's a subject I'm prepared to talk about. I'm not going to talk about priests raping children or anything else like that. I mean, it's just, I don't watch horror movies.
And, well, I
know what happens and I know what they do, but, you know, it's not a topic that I discuss. So, I mean, if y'all do, that's fine.
No, the whole concept of what's going on out here is... Not only are people being pitted against each other from, you know, biblical view of life as opposed to an evolutional point of life, Democrat versus Republican, it's continuous pitting one against the other. Now, do I know for a fact that evolution did or didn't occur? No, I don't, because I wasn't around at the beginning of time. So there's no way that I can 100% verify that. So there's no reason for me to waste my time trying to convince somebody in this world that one or the two views is right. See, I live by faith alone, and that's faith to what I've discerned through my life, things that I've learned that I made my choices from. Now, could I be wrong? Could I have been fooled along? That's what we're trying to point out today. The fact that GeoShifter was able to put out a video that he says that you're being brainwashed, and by the end of the video, he will literally answer your question. All right? And it's shocking, but that's the kind of society that we're living in. And so I can't confirm nor deny nor verify information from something that I wasn't never there to see. Like, I ain't never been in space, so I couldn't tell you whether the Earth is round or flat. All I know is what science told me. That's all I got, all right? And wherever that information came from, truth is reliant on the honesty of the person telling the truth. And so, in order to get to truth, we have to look at every single possibility and step back and make our own personal judgments and our actions accordingly, if you can understand what I'm trying to say.
Believe me, brother, I'm there. And that's why I consider myself to be a reliable source. Not that I'm a genius or not that I'm necessarily smarter than you, but you know what? I spent literally thousands of hours thousands and thousands of hours over the past, I'm going to give honesty, about 30 years of study on every aspect of everything that I look at, and beyond confirmation bias. So as far as being socially engineered, we most certainly are. We're all brainwashed and have been. And whether you realize it or not, whether you claim to be awake, I'd say that we're all asleep and unaware at some point in something. We can't know all, but we can use deduction with a study of through grammar and logic, and logic applied is wisdom. So when one speaks, it should be the showing of how, of who, what, where, and when, and the why for how. So when a person does speak, I think we have a responsibility to be credible, and that means that we have had a study. So what is against us is multifaceted, and it goes beyond the observable as far as the actions being presented for us in the public media or whatever. That also is a means to persuade your opinion and your how you react. So you, me, and everybody else is affected by this, whether you turn your TV on or even if you have a television. So like you were saying when you began, even the alternative media has its diversions to draw us away from this logical path that we would assume to be on. We obviously believe what we believe, or we believe something else. So, but for me, like I say, the idea that whether a person can live and do us as they will is the quintessential antithesis and antithesis, that is, to good and evil. The natural laws expressed, whether they be, you define them as the law of God, nature, or the universe, or whatever, there is an obvious line. There's not a blurred line. It becomes blurred as one's heart becomes hardened. But the definition between right and wrong, good and evil exists. The good is to life, for life more abundantly, and that you not be a thief. A thief steals life, steals property, steals even emotional value from a person. So this is what is against good, this evil. And evil is death, and that's what sin is. So beyond trying to get definition by words that we have, we suppose that we know the definition to, because all words we know in this social engineering has been used against us. Black is always white. And everything that we supposed to know to be true should be questioned, especially our most sacred dogmas. So,
exactly.
With that, I'll hand you the mic back.
Well, we've been lied to from birth. I mean, that's pretty obvious to most of us by this point in our life. When you talk about multifaceted attacks on our society, well, we're seeing it from every direction. Yet a good part of society still doesn't recognize it. And you're right, Vince, if I try and pay attention to everything that's going on in this world right now, because there is a multitude of things going on that are all directly tied to each other. If you try and comprehend them all, you will lose your mind. Your mind will not be able to comprehend how deep the rabbit holes go. So I generally focus on a few issues and try and really go down those rabbit holes, per se. And I think if everybody does that, we don't go looking everywhere at everything going on, because when you do that, like literally right now, this is being done on purpose, I believe. There's so much going on that it's really hard for us to even keep track of what is going on. So,
well,
you know what I'm saying, Shaziz? Because yeah. It really is. There's just it seems like in the last year even, there's just a ton of new activity all over the planet, of issues that are all tied together, and we can't even begin to understand.
And that's why we need to put it out there that people need to be discerning in the information that's coming from whichever direction. It doesn't matter what direction it is, all right? You got to be discerning in that information, because we live in an age of deceit that is beyond all comprehension. There are people out there who want to deceive you. There are people out there who want to sell stuff to you. There's people out there who want to kill you, lie to you, and steal from you in all different directions. But you can't live in fear. The boogeyman isn't under every bush. It isn't under every doggone chair and house or whatever. And history has been tampered with, and the truth has been tampered with, and the only way to get to that truth is to incrementally work our way towards the truth and verify every single thing, whether it be evolution or creation. But you have to listen to both sides of this story in order to be able to even comprehend a thought that would bring you to a logical conclusion. All right, science tells you one thing, religion might tell you another. We don't have time for the back and forth debate. We've got things going on in our world out there where there's children in other nations that we have been told are starving to death. There's children on other continents out there that are having bombs dropped on their parents and themselves as well. They call it collateral damage over there. There's supposedly this climate change debacle going on where we got to save the planet, but yet they're still dropping depleted uranium and bombs and ignorant stuff over there, kicking up crud in the air. They're still flying on the corporate jets. They're still riding in the corporate limousines. They're still doing everything that they tell you that you need to reduce your carbon footprint. You need to turn in your firearm so you might be a terrorist or somebody else might be a terrorist. Everybody be safe. Ain't nobody but the government got guns. So, you got to understand that you just stepped into the matrix. You fell so far down the rabbit hole, and now to try to figure what the heck is going on in which direction, you have to be wise. Thomas Jefferson said it, and I'll repeat it. The price to freedom is eternal vigilance, and if you ain't willing to be vigilant, you ain't willing to pay attention to what's going on in your kid's school, or how your kids, have you ever sat down and asked your kids, how do you feel in school? Are you comfortable there? Does it feel, you know, like you're going to be with friends and wonderful teachers? Or do you feel like, you know, whatever, let them answer it, you know? You see what I'm saying, Barry?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, of course, we see the big pushback now against homeschooling. You know, they're going to try and outlaw that. So you're forced to go to school. I mean, now you have to have your child vaccinated to go to school in California. Well, there was a thing called the Nuremberg Trials. You know what? They would have hung people for that kind of legislation back down in 1945 or 46 when the trials were held. And now it's accepted in society and mandated to our children. Just shows you how far down the rabbit hole we're going.
Well, Paul Harvey.
I can't believe that people aren't... what really amazes me is that parents aren't screaming at the top of their lungs. She says, I don't understand it. I really don't.
Because
I see this stuff and I'm screaming. And my kids are out of school now.
1965, Paul Harvey laid it all out. And man, you tell me if there ain't metal detectors at the schools. You tell me if the big media ain't being dirtier movies. You tell me if society's morality didn't follow down the same exact... He laid it out in 1965. Do you realize how old that is? I'm 50 years old. I was born in 1965. I was born the day the man was saying that. Not necessarily the day, but I was born in the day where that man was saying that.
Yep, 50 years ago.
So I was born into a world that was going to hell in a handbasket down the side of a mountain. It was like a grocery cart, more than a handbasket. You ever rode in a grocery cart?
Well, yeah, it absolutely. That every time I listen to that clip, and I've probably listened to it 30 times in my life now, it absolutely amazes me that everything he says is exactly right, almost to the T, what we're seeing happening in society now. And he was screaming it back then, and society turned their backs to it. And we are, as a society, in great peril right now. I honestly believe that, because the moral decadence in society, any time in history, and I've studied history enough, I'm not an expert, but I've studied history enough to know that any time a society loses its moral base, it will fall apart. It's inevitable. It's happened over and over and over and over again. You don't think that's going to happen in America? Then you do have your head in the sand. Well, because that's what they're doing to us, guys. And it is really coming out hard now.
Whenever you're sitting on the bus, regardless of the fact whether you're sitting in the front or the back, you need to know your place and shut your face, because that bus driver has control. All right? And that the bus driver, you have to have faith that he's not drunk, he's not an idiot, and that he's not going to kill you. You have to have faith. But when you start to realize that that bus driver's swerving all over the doggone road, somebody got to act. Somebody got to get up there and take charge and start putting some brakes on and say, hey, hold on, Hector, here a second. You know, we don't want to die. You see what I mean? That is just a weird example of how we're on this crazy train going over into the abyss, and it's time to put on the brakes before you get over the hill, if you know what I mean.
Got to take a lot of people pushing on that brake pedal right now and stop it.
Well, you know, some people say that the ship is so big and the arc is so wide that, you know, we're not going to be able to turn this ship around and that it's just too late. But I'm saying, you know, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, all right? And my book says that no man knows the time or day, that he's going to come like a thief in the night. So in the meantime, I need to be cleaning the house. I need to get things ready for that return.
All right? Absolutely.
I can't wait around to leave a trashy house when Dad shows up, so to speak, because when he gets here, if I got my house in order, I might be a little bit better off than I would be if he comes there and I'm jumping all over the couch and throwing bricks through the front window, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why Vince does what he's doing, and that's why everybody that's involved in trying to get the word out is doing what they're doing, because we know and we see it all, and so much of society is still blind to it. So much of society doesn't realize the danger that we're actually in. I mean, we haven't even gone into the subject of economics and what's happening with the dollar worldwide, what we see now starting to happen with the markets, the drops that are not coming back, and what the predictions are for the next couple, 3 weeks. Well, you know, fear is the biggest weapon they use against society. We see now, all through mainstream media in the United States of America, the propagation of this fear of these Islamics that are now in the United States of America. You're hearing it on mainstream, so it's in people's mind. Of course, that sets us up for a fall. I mean, people are so easy to manipulate because they fall for the same stuff over and over and over again. It's problem, reaction, and solution.
Yep.
And they're the masters at it. She says, and we're going to see that happen again. Go ahead, Vince.
You know who suffers? We all do, and we're pitted one against another to hate these people that are forced out of their country, you know, carrying a baby, walking for no telling how far they have walked. The struggles, the strife they had to go through to get here. And you know what? And then what will be done about that? Well, a little later on, since you got this base here, hey, you ain't got to go over there to go to war because we brought the war home.
Oh, yeah.
Because then they sit up for more false flags and blaming Muslims. And you know what? A Muslim, you know, the average Muslim over there ain't no different than you and I. They just want to live and they want their life. They want to be happy and raise their children. And not be killed. You know, we have encompassed the world in war, and that is the order of the day. And we can spend our time running down rabbit holes, or we can sit up on the hill and watch how them rabbits run, because they go down one hole and pop back up on another hill over there out of another hole. But by sitting back and looking, we see how the whole system works, and that's where it works against us.
Yeah.
So let's knock off a rabbit or two from the hill instead of trying to run down the rabbit hole and go have tea with Alice and the queen.
That's the key.
Yeah, you know, let's
stay out of that box. Stay out of that box and step back and get a good big picture, just like he's saying, and pay attention to what's going on out there in the world. Yeah, it's overwhelming. You know, it is. But if you're going to be free and you're going to be fair, you need to teach both sides of the story of all the different deals. You need to teach true history, even as painful as it may be. You may have to teach it.
Hey, are you from Tennessee?
I'm from Missouri.
All right, you north of me then.
But regardless of where we go with this world, the one thing stands true. The stepping stones that we lay down right now, we're paving the future for our future generations, our children and their children. The stepping stones that we lay down are the ones that they're going to have to walk on in the future. And so if you yourself think that you have no power, that you ain't got no control over, that it's all crazy, and you don't try to put a stepping stone down in front of your children when they fall face first into the mud of the future, hey, you know, you gave them what you got. That's it. You know.
Absolutely. I apologize to my children a couple times already, Shuzay, so for being asleep as long as I have in my life and not being aware of what's going on around me until the last 10 years of my life. Look at the legacy we're leaving for our children, guys. You know, I'm going to only say this for a minute, but when I grew up, I still had a planet that was abundant, that there was the planet wasn't dying. The planet was still vibrant at that point, and now I see a planet that's dying. And I say to myself, what are my children going to have? Are they going to be able to even come close to experiencing what I experienced 10 years from now? Are they going to be able to? I can't say yes. I can only say no to that because I'm realistic about what I see happening around us. So I say to myself, I have to talk loud. I have to try and talk. I'll open my hearts up every day to somebody and say, look, you know, we don't fix this now. We are going to have to look our children in the face one day and say, yeah, we knew about it, but we didn't do anything about it. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do whatever I can. And if everybody took that attitude right now and looked themselves in the mirror, guys, and say, look, we don't have time to fart around here. This is serious stuff we're talking about. Let's get busy.
Yeah.
Do anything you can in your community to get busy.
I got a little clip that I play all the time called The Dream, and it explains what it is that we're pretty much talking about. You know, when you look down in your own communities, you can see the needs in your own communities. You can see the homeless man. You don't have to walk past them. You know, you can see people that are in trouble, people that need a coat or whatever, and you can help them out just by doing something that simple. Something as simple as a smile. A positive pebble in the pond will send ripples across, and somebody else will do the same thing. You know, negativity breeds negativity, positivity breeds positivity. And if you don't believe it, try it before you deny it. Get out there and do something good for your family, for yourself, for your community, and start working and paying attention to what's going on out there in your local governments, your little townships with your mayors, and up to your state senates and Congress and all that. Pay attention. Before you pull that lever with your list of approval, your stamp of approval, know that guy or gal before you do pull that lever and say, yeah, I elect you as my representative. Because some of these guys have been in there for 20, 30, 40 years, and their track record stinks. But you just keep on, because that's on the blue team, I got to vote for him. It's on the red team, I got to vote for him. You know, vote for the guy that you know is going to do the job, or that you believe is going to do the job, you know. Vote for Congressman Bongwater. He'll tell you like it is. He says straight out, he's going to screw you on taxes. Elect me, I'll screw you on taxes. You know, he says he's going to do it. So at least you know what you got when you get there. You see what I mean?
I think every elected politician in the world should be made to wear a lie detector while he's on
duty. Yeah, big old buzzer goes off every time. Yeah, I'm gonna reduce taxes.
You wouldn't be able to hear anything because all the buzzers would be going off.
Yeah. Well, anyway, folks,
you guys probably won't want to watch it, but that little clip right there is a dystopian movie of the future of where even cameras are in your every room of your house and every aspect of your life is scrutinized.
Well,
yeah,
that's absolutely, you're hitting it right on the nose.
I will watch it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Actually, I think it was made by college kids or something. Probably
it's not coming. It's here. It's here. The beast is knocking at the door, folks, and you better pay attention. Now's the time to stand up and wield the swords of truth and get your act together, because it's your nations and your family that's on the line there. These guys at the top, they're making money off of it. Whichever direction it goes, they're going to make money off of it. You can rest assured in that. That's why they're still at the top. But either way, we're down to the wire. So you guys got something quick last you want to say before we sign up out of here?
Yeah, for the listeners, it's called the Empath, the Director's Cut, the Empath, okay? So if you want to look at it on YouTube, there it is. See, it has a little twist of the sci-fi, whatever, stuff in it, but whatever.
Okay.
But anyways, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey.
I'll be on Monday through Friday this week, I think Friday, 12 noon Central on Real Liberty Media for No Time for Rational Thinking. And if you ain't listening to something else, tune in. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Vince.
What about you, Barry?
Hey, just reiterate what you said, she says. We really, I think, at this point, have to get busy in our lives and do whatever we can. Open your minds to what you can do to fight against everything we see going on. And get busy, because, like I said, we got to look our children in the face one day, guys, and say, hey, we do about it, and we did something about it, or we didn't do something about it. I'm trying to do what I can do.
Yep.
Have a good day, guys. It's always a pleasure to join you, Shizzes.
You too, and same there. Everybody, you can't drive the world from the couch. You got to get up off the couch. You got to get out there and do something. That's all there is to it. You know, get involved with your children, pay attention to their education, and help them to learn, and do the same for your communities. Get out there and take care of one another. I believe that's what our Creator wanted us to do, is to be good caretakers of the land, the animals, and one another. And if we follow that golden rule right there alone, then our world should see some serious results if everybody gets motivated to do so. So peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Knights of the Roundtable.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to board a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme, but our quiet on sing able. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
We're on second boat, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
This is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. if there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I am your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hail ye, king Shazam the Terrible! All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!